Fitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast. We'll be there tomorrow, 1926 Airline Drive. Looking forward to it. NoWakeOutFitters.com is the website to go see what they're all about. Hour 2 is brought to you by Chris's Paving. ChrisPaving.com is the way to go check out. They do driveways, the new parking lots, the new overlays. They're locally owned and operated. Asphalt, concrete. If you're paving it at all and you need a paving contractor, it's them. New Orleans and Bayou regions. I can give you the number, 985-960-2131, or just go to ChrisPaving.com. Chef Scotty to my left. John Forcade, somewhat to my left.
Yeah.
And then right in front of me, General Dean.
Talking Pels. Got to give me that little,
Johnny Manziel.
Universal
little,
sign.
Yeah, little Johnny Manziel. As we continue on with Jack, thanks for holding on, sir. Wanted to give you a little bit of your time. Thank you for holding on. What you got, bud?
Yeah, it's Josh, Gus. How you been, man?
Oh. What's up, man? Sorry, it says Jack on my phone. Thank you, bud.
No, it's all good. Way better caller. So I just actually wanted to call and make a prediction. Antonio Pierce recruited Jaden Daniels in high school. He recruited him to Arizona State. I think he won over Davis with this last season, him taking over his interim and just, you know, winning. And I think the Raiders are going to make a move and move up to two, give up the entire farm and take Daniels, and Pearson Daniels will be at the hit for the next 4 years. That's what I think is going to happen.
Wow. Josh is hitting the vodka early today.
No, I mean, whoa. He's not alone.
So it's going to be the Saints and the Raiders
that
in the Super Bowl?
No, man, this thing's... You know what?
Jeez.
Josh, you hear Chef Scotty, huh?
No, I'm just... They're going to be teamed together, and it's not a far-fetched thing. I mean, look, if Chef Scotty can say that Chris Paul being the point guard would make the Pelicans the number one seed, I can say whatever.
In his heyday.
I can say whatever. But I just wanted to also make a reminder that Daniel Jones has more playoff wins than Derek Carr, Chef Scotty. Just remind that.
Yeah.
And also,
keep going, Josh. Just, you're on a roll, baby. I'm loving this.
It's easy. It's low-hanging fruit. I honestly... When it comes to the draft, I think this is going to be one of the best drafts we've ever seen, regardless of a Saints fan. I mean, there are 31 teams actually doing something with this draft. With us, we're just going to let a failed interior designer run our team into the ground. But other than that, I think this is going to be the most entertaining draft ever, and specifically with these teams, like, you know, 5 years ago, you draft quarterback, you know, top five. You're with him forever. I think now you have these teams that are just cutting loose earlier than normal. They're more willing to make moves, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that, and I'm really excited, man. I think, you know, we're going to take a tackle, but all these wide receiver options, they're just going to fall. And I think if the Saints were smart, we would just trade up and get one of these number one options on these college teams that are going to be second-round picks. I mean, Troy Franklin from Oregon, you got a couple of wide receivers from Washington other than Odunze is really good. So, you know, I'm just excited to see how the Saints mess it up. But, I love the show, dude. I love it. Love it.
Why, thank you.
This is the time.
Where
when
is the positivity, people?
The credit card bill is due, man. This
two,
is it.
2 weeks
credit
card today, bill
remember,
is due.
Remember back 40 years ago, we had Faith, Hope, and Bum?
Yeah.
Now we've got Faith, Hope.
We had wonderful song, Big Bad Bum.
Faith, Hope, and Bum.
And D.A.
Faith, Hope, and
Go ahead, Josh.
Well, yeah, like before y'all cut to the break last time, you know, General D. And by the way, General D, you are so good at talking about the Pelicans, man. I think you really are like one of the more knowledgeable, objectively observant people. When you speak, man, I listen to the Pels. I really don't know that much about basketball. I know Willie Green's not that good, but General D, keep doing your thing. But before the break, y'all were like, you know, the Saints fans were sold this bill of goods, and now they're upset. And, Gus, you know I've been calling for years saying this is going to happen. The most frustrating thing about it is for Saints fans, and I'm not going to say I'm a better Saints fan or anything like that. I just think, you know, some people get so tied into this local thing. And so I really do think this false bill of goods that, you know, we've been sold, I think there's a frustration in a part of Saints fans that see the other part of the Saints fans that are still thinking, no offense, Chef Scotty, still thinking that we can make a run in the playoffs. And it's like, we need to just cut it down and do different things. But there's a frustration from certain Saints fans looking at other Saints fans being like, are y'all really still like thinking this is working? And I think there's a disconnect when it comes to the fan base. So that's all I wanted to say, guys. I also wanted to point out Jaden Daniels. I know he won the Heisman. He has two of the top four wide receiver recruits coming out of college this year. I really do think he's going to be like a better version of Justin Fields. So y'all can hate on it all you want, but that's my prediction. I think in like 3 years he'll be on another team. So anyway, have a good one, guys.
Are you an Ole Miss fan?
Hey, Josh.
No, look, Josh makes some really good points for the fact
he
that
does, you know,
it depends. It depends on what kind of situation he walks into. That's with any quarterback. They have to have the right coach. They have to have the right organization, and they have to have assets around them. Fields came into a bad situation in Chicago. It was a complete mess. Right. You saw some improvement with him. Now he's been out of there because he didn't have enough results. So it really depends on where these guys fit.
And
you look at the guy that was at the 76ers.
And here's what they can do nowadays because 49ers. They're on that rookie contract. That's why they can get rid of him after 3 years.
Right.
They say, you know what, Beach having me re-sign a quarterback like Carr and give him $130 million and X amount's guaranteed and he's making a base pay that's $50, $60 million where these quarterbacks now come in, they don't make that as a rookie contract. So they said, okay, you got 3 years to show me what you can't, hey, I'll go get a new one.
I was a little disappointed in you not telling Josh, just called, that you get all your information.
I get it from you.
Morning, and then you spout it out.
Is that what it is? Okay. not sure what to do with that one. But
I don't listen to nothing, Scotty.
But I will say this. I will say this. The way the structure is with the cap right now for the Saints and with other organizations, the quarterback position is a premium position. You're going to have to pay for them if they become good. But right now, the window is open when you don't have to pay for a guy. So some of these guys that are getting into some positions that they're going to have to move up in the draft for, they don't mind giving up some assets to go get a guy because their team's pretty much set because they're missing one piece. The Saints are in a completely different position. The Saints have invested money into the quarterback position. Right now, they have to go out and solidify the line. And those are maybe not some sexy picks. It's not going to be the guy that's the receiver that you've talked about, and he runs 4.3. It's going to be a guy that's going to be, hopefully, that you can have in 10 years. Because they've actually drafted for terribles thus far.
So when you're drafting O-line, majority of time, those guys you draft, they're going to be around 8, 9, 10 years.
Correct.
You're drafting these receivers, it could be 2 years, and he's out the door. But if you can get a good line, and you know,
or 2 years before he's even producing,
correct. And you look at it, you got five offensive linemen that play. You only got two receivers, maybe three at times that play. So you better have five pretty doggone good old linemen in there because that could be your team. Even if your quarterback's gone or your head coach is gone, guess who's there? The linemen are still there.
I'm going to pose a curveball question for all of y'all at the table.
All right.
Right? The best position player in this draft, and I don't think it's even close, for the tight end spot, is the kid out of Georgia.
No
Brock
question.
Bowers. Yeah. Brock Bowers. No, without question.
No question.
I don't think he falls to the Saints, but that would be the only guy that I would say I wouldn't lose my mind if they picked at 14 because he would solidify the tight end position, which would give you a ton of other options, and then you would have to then go out and dress in free agency or making a trade because you do have Lattimore that's sitting there that everybody's not sure if he's going to be on the roster or not. Then you might see him move on draft day. That would be a guy that I would possibly move and go get two tackles for the price of one cornerback.
Another thing about Bowers is he's a pretty good chip blocker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he could...
He's by far the best guy at his position.
He can improve the offensive line.
So,
I mean,
he's a little light in the rear. That's the only thing that scares me when he plays tight.
Checking out his rear, John?
Yeah. I like to check out those guys' rears. And, you know.
It's a metric.
Being a quarterback, you always batting that rear.
That's right. So, you got to know which one to go under.
But the thing about Bowers is that I agree, best tight end in the draft. But they don't use him a lot when he's at Georgia.
As an inline blocker.
Hand down a lot, but it's hard to pass him up. And like you said, if you do that, then you definitely better bundle up some stuff to move up back in so you can get an O-line. Because you cannot
I think the calculus for sure, then you would take O-line without a doubt at the second pick.
Correct.
But my argument would be that might be the time that you'd move on from Lattimore and say, look, we're just going to have to do what we can to go get a lineman to plug in.
You got
to
get.
But I think his talent is so far above anything that's in his position group that it might be worth taking a swing. I don't think he'll be there. I think teams are actually going to go up in the draft to go get Bowers.
Yeah. That once tight ends. Yep.
So, just look at the Brock Bowers blocking highlights. They've got highlights of him just.
Well, I'm sure they do.
Well, yeah. I mean, anything
can help. You can do it. There's no doubt. But hey, the way the NFL is going nowadays, it ain't tight ends blocking. It's tight ends catching.
The other piece that I'm very interested to see in the draft is if you look at teams and how they mirror each other. So the 49ers with Deebo Samuel. Who's going to play the Deebo Samuel role for this team, for the Saints? Because well, Kubiak's going to run something similar to that. Would it be Taysom? Is it going to be?
It could be Kamara.
I don't think it's Kamara.
Kamara does play receiver a little bit.
But he's more the McCaffrey group. McCaffrey in our
offense. But he can do that too.
Dabo is big boy.
Deebo Samuel.
Deebo. Yeah. He's thick.
Right.
He's out there. He's 6'6".
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill. Now, there's a guy in the draft, and I'm trying to remember where he's from. Is he from South Carolina? I think that's where Deebo was.
But that kid
is very similar to his metrics that will be there probably in the later round, like around 3-4, that you might be able to go get. So
you can't do it with a smaller guy because they're asking him to run a little bit more from a different position where you're running from the outside. You don't have really blockers, and that's tougher than doing it where you're a smaller guy who's got blocking, hit the hole and go. In this scenario, you got guy in motion, toss him in the ball. He's pretty much on his own. He might have one blocker. But, if you got a receiver that's big enough to do it, and Hill's a perfect spot.
Another guy to keep an eye on is Hunter Renfrow. That would be a guy that had some.
He's not a big guy running the ball.
He's a guy that has some relationship with Carr, what I'm saying.
But
he's still out there as a free agent, I believe.
Right.
That might be somebody that was associated with the Saints last year.
I'm surprised he's not here.
Right.
I mean, why isn't he here now?
Correct.
There's got to be something for them.
I think it's still contract money that they're still waiting to see. And I think once the time goes a little closer and then the receivers kind of fall.
You brought this up. We got 2 minutes before we hit the break. Ralph Marlborough is going to join us. He's our lone guest this hour as well with Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KNAE, at 145. Sean Fox, 215. But you said it real quick, and we can address it here after the break. With Ralph, you think Marshawn Lattimore is not going to be on this team next year? I had a conversation with someone last week, and I agree with you after I heard what I heard.
Well, I think the way his contract is structured, it has him on this team. However, if there's a big enough hole, he's one of the only tradable assets I think we have.
That's it. He's the best tradable asset to get up the ladder, where you could get a guy
that could start for you on the line and possibly a backup somewhere else.
Do you think he's on his team next year?
No, I do not. I think he's traded.
I think you already know.
No.
Be interesting because I like Alante Taylor. I think he's better on the outside than he ever was on the inside.
Absolutely.
So that is a good thing from that aspect to look at it. But the inconsistency, the injuries, but also I think a locker room issue is why I think Marshawn Lattimore will.
When Paulson Adebo kind of stepped up and answered the bell, and Alante Taylor has done what he's done.
Yeah.
A guy of his magnitude that can move on from.
If they can get solid player for him, like an offensive lineman.
I don't want a draft pick for him because the draft pick market is looking at third.
You want a player.
I want a player for him.
I want a guy.
You don't have a third or a fourth.
But the reason is because if you're going to get a third or a fourth for Lattimore, you better just keep him on your roster. If you're going to go get a starter, because a third or fourth is not starting on our team, right? I don't see a wide receiver that's probably going
to
be there.
You need to pick up a lineman like we did when we picked up Jeff Fain. I mean, that's who.
Well, you make a trade.
That's who we traded.
But I'm saying, if you make
Graham
a trade,
for, and
that was yeah.
And he ended up giving us a couple of.
No, that wasn't Fain.
It was Jeff Fain.
Jeff Fain, the big guy from the Bears.
He was a center.
From Seattle.
When you traded Seattle, that was. It wasn't Fain.
No, it wasn't Fain. I know exactly.
He became
the other one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm using Fain as an example.
Right. Yeah. But the guy from Seattle, he's abruptly retired, all of a sudden.
Yeah. Hit the break. When we come back, Ralph Marlborough, Happy Hour podcast. We'll ask him about what he makes of a couple of things here as well. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation on the Ruderman Can Hotline and Guest Line. And joining us is none other than Mr. Ralph Marlborough. Normal Wednesday 1:15 spot, even though it's a Thursday. What's up, sir? Little weather was a little nuts yesterday, man, but it's always good to hear from you. How are you?
Hello?
Yep, I got you now. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Josh. Did we survive the weather event yesterday?
We did survive the weather event, so we are good to go. We're good to go. There's no rain today, so that's a good thing for sure, man. But I will say this. It is kind of interesting because we're 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, and I kind of feel that whole saying, raining and pouring, could be the case when it comes to 2 weeks away, man. I don't know. How do you feel as we're 2 weeks away from overall in the NFL draft?
I feel like the one thing that I always try to remember when we get to 2 weeks, and I'll steal this from Bomani Jones. He mentioned this a couple of years ago, and I always try to remember this. The NFL draft is a TV show. And ESPN and the NFL Network is invested in everybody thinking the NFL draft is going to be chaos. They want you to think there's going to be six quarterbacks taken in the first eight picks. There might be seven corners. We don't know. It could be chaos. You need to watch. When in fact, it's probably going to go like everybody thought it was going to go like 2 months ago. But they have to sell us on this chaos. So with that in mind, I have to tell myself to calm down about six quarterbacks getting picked in the first round and all this chaos that we're hearing. But the one thing that I keep thinking about, Gus, is do you realize that of the four offensive linemen taken in 2022, the first four in the first round, three of them are outright busts on the offensive line. And I just think that offensive line, it's harder to find them, and it's harder to coach, and it's harder for the draft people to analyze them than it's ever been. And the more I think about that, it makes me terrified because the Saints need at least one, probably two offensive tackles. And they're really, really hard to find. Even the smart people don't know how to do it. I'm really afraid.
So when I look at all these mock drafts, Ralph, and we discussed it here with Chef Scott and John Forcade and General D here as well, the Penn State, Fashanu. I mean, that tackle looks like, I mean, he hasn't given up a sack in 2 years. I mean, like, that's got to translate to Sunday, right? I mean, if he's there, you're taking him and you're comfortable, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that's frightened me, I learned recently that he has, like, baby hands. And he's got, like, 8.5-inch hands. That's kind of, not great. I don't know how a giant man that size can have baby hands, but apparently he does. But the thing with these offensive linemen, Gus, I think the thing that we... But the thing that I like is I want a guy like him that's not I don't want a project. Like, say that we can't be drafting like a Trevor Penning or like a small school. Give me a guy that's like from a big conference, played a ton, has all the measurables. Like, I want a guy that even if he's a flop, right? Even if Deshaun is a flop or the other two names that come up, even if they're a flop, like, you could say, well, man, you picked Latham. Like, everybody thought he was good. Like, he checked every box at Alabama. What do you want? Like, I don't want a guy where we're like, maybe if this goes right and if this goes right and if these two things come together, he could be pretty good. No. You better pick a ready-made guy. And, Gus, I would almost prefer them pick a guy, not that it's the same position, but, like, remember when they picked Roman Harper? They picked Roman Harper in 2006, and I can still remember Mel Kiper and the draft analyst being like, Roman Harper, he's an okay pick, but he's going to be what he's going to be, and he's not going to get any better, and he kind of is what he is, and I think you need a guy with more upside. And they were kind of right on Roman Harper, where he gave you exactly what he gave you at Alabama. But, like, that's okay, because the Saints' tackle situation is desperate. If you just said, hey, he's going to be a John Stinchcomb. And he's just going to be, but he's going to be better than Stinchcomb because he's going to play right away. But he's going to be that level. And he's going to be really good, not quite a Pro Bowler, maybe a Pro Bowler when they make the fifth alternate. But he's just going to be a rock solid dude for like 7 to 10 years. Or you could have this mystery box of, there's like a 60% chance that he's awesome and go to Canton. There's like a 30% chance that he's a bust. I would be like,
give me the rock solid guy. I'll pass on the upside. Does that kind of make sense where I'm going with this, Gus?
Yeah, Rob, this is John Forkett here. I totally agree with you when you come up to say about the situation. You got to get a player right now who's from a professional college team. I hate to say it that way, but
it's true.
You got to get the top of the elite, top 20 college football clubs that you know of that can pass block. A team that pass block and give me those offensive linemen. And you're correct. When you get him on a ball club, that's a different scenario. Then going out and get a kid from What's the Matter You or, you know, Podunk High, you can't go get this guy. You got to get an established guy that's played and let him go out and play. And that's what we're seeing right now. With the O-line, it's a crapshoot. We all know that, but you got to find somebody to play a left tackle. That's the most important position.
Right tackle, too. Like, what makes us think Ramchek's going to be good to go? Like,
yeah, he won't.
Do you guys see that? I don't see. I mean, I'm not New Orleans, but I see, since Dennis Allen made that sort of, like, surprise announcement at the owner's meeting, like, I've seen nothing that makes me think Ramchek is anywhere near going to be playing in 2024.
Well, even if he plays in this year, I mean, you have to look at something for next year.
Well, I mean, he could pass a test to get out there and say, all right, he's ready to play. And what happens in the first series, Aaron Rodgers, boom, he goes down because you're not in training camp. You're not going hard on a guy who's hurt. You need it for the regular season. Bingo, first game of the season, he goes down. Now you're stuck without a tackle. I like what Scotty said. How about putting the Penning over at right tackle? Give him a shot there.
Penning was a good player in college. So I know he was at a small college. They drafted him. Maybe it's taking him 2 years to learn a position. And now that he's got a new offensive staff, who knows? I mean, if we can get something out of Penning, get a really good first-round draft choice on the offensive line, they could be okay. I mean, I realize I'm Mr. Positive, y'all. And,
no.
You know, but it's just...
Guys, the one thing I think that you make the interesting point about Penning, and I hope they do this, is whatever they decide with Penning, right? Whether they decide, hey, you're a left tackle, you're a right tackle, maybe they try him at guard. Whatever they decide to do with him, I really hope that they stick with the plan. Because I think the struggles that he's had for the first 2 years, Gus, if they're like, hey, he's going to play guard, and then during the year, they're like, he's going back to left tackle. Yep. Like, I think that's setting him up for failure. So, like, whatever they do with Penning, like, if you told me, hey, they're going to move Penning to guard, and he's going to be just slightly, he's going to be pretty good guard. Like, I'd be like, that's cool, because that's another starter that you could have. So, Penning, to me, is really interesting. Now, I do think the issues that he's had the last, he basically hasn't had an offseason, right? Because his first year, he in the last game of the year, right, he got injured. So last year, he didn't have an offseason. And I just think he's a guy, he needed the offseason. He needed to go to these offensive line, you know, the Charles Bentley and these sort of places. He needed the work. And, like, it was, to me, that was devastating to him. So if you want to spin it positive, which I like, I think there's a positive feeling around Penning of like, listen, his offseason has been wrecked. Let's see how he does with a full offseason and a new coaching staff before we throw him into the bin and call him trash officially. Like I'm still, it's April. And I
can't
have positivity in April. I'm gonna be a little positive.
No, I hear you. That is Ralph Palmer. As always, appreciate
you. You can't get across the
buying
river.
Buying shrimp boots or something?
Whatever they're doing.
I have a theory on that if you want to hear it.
I got to know what's going on.
It is the worst designed.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Bridge exit on ramp.
Correct.
That I've ever seen in my
entire life.
People
in the left lane are trying to get over to the right lane to get off.
Whoever designed it for the local DOTD
coming into New Orleans.
Somebody from
coming into New Orleans?
Yes.
The merge?
You have four exits and four on ramps literally at the same place.
It's unbelievable. You're trying to merge off to get off to and they're trying to merge you, and it's like a cluster.
I am convinced that was designed on a napkin at a bar as a joke.
Probably at Katie's.
And then that person that stayed there that night.
Doc designed it.
Forgot that they had the meeting in Baton Rouge for funding.
Unbelievable.
Hadn't done it. pulled the napkin out of his pocket and said, this is it. You can have it for the lowest bidding. And they said, fantastic.
We have never had traffic that bad, even with the tolls.
Dude, there is nowhere else in the world that has that.
Well, they're already coming to visit my house.
What in the world would make you think? And it, by the way, the only way to get into downtown New Orleans or get out onto the interstate.
Yep, correct.
Those four choke points. I've never seen anything like it. Anything.
It's bad.
Quit picking on my city.
But it is great to live here.
Wait a minute. We're all in greater New Orleans, so let's not even try to make.
None of you live here.
No.
You got to live here.
You got to live in Orleans Parish to claim you from New Orleans.
No, that is not true, Scott. That is not true.
I'm not from New Orleans. I'll never claim
I can absolutely.
The way they talk about New Orleans,
well, you're right.
They don't deserve to be called New Orleans.
I'll give them that because I love New Orleans. I go into the city all the time. I go to all the different restaurants.
I love the fact that you're not afraid.
But it doesn't matter. I'll go to dinner. We'll go. I mean, we went to the candlelight thing that was over at the Sazerac house last night. It was wonderful.
Beautiful.
We went to dinner after that somewhere.
Man, like, is City Park
this is a unique city that you have to, if you don't immerse yourself
Thank
in the city,
you,
you don't appreciate what it's all about.
It's the one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
I go up and down Long Avenue on the river. I love it. Got restaurants.
I had a beautiful dog walk in my street.
I can walk out with my dogs. I can walk on the levee.
Well, let me tell you right now. I live right off of Bonneville in Old Metairie. Yeah. And there was a shooting that would happen on broad daylight, on the interstate.
Oh,
so,
look,
anywhere you're going to go, there's going to be crime, and we can't avoid that.
The way
but let me tell you right now, overall, crime is down.
Crime is
down.
It's way down.
And that message needs to really get out there.
It's over 30%.
Right. It is down. What? Not because it's not one of those things that we don't, test for it, it's not there, or we don't, arrest for it, that this doesn't happen. Crime is down, but overall,
you hit the nail on the head, arrest. So when they do the crime, they're not doing the time, so you classify that as no crime?
No. There's definitely, if you look at it overall, and just your general feeling of the city, I think people are scared to go in certain pockets of the city. There's no question of that. And I think the city could do a better job.
It's always been that way.
I'm saying, and I agree. I think the city could do a better job of putting the message out or policing a certain area that is a high crime area.
Right.
With that all being said, overall,
we've been told don't go in certain areas.
Correct. But this is the
thing. Same way it is now.
I agree with you, Scott.
Of course, I've always gone there because I got friends in those areas.
But the issue is that we've got to do a better job getting the message out nationally and internationally, because this is a city that thrives on tourism.
It's gorgeous.
Your restaurants bring in people. When they're looking to go do something, they're coming in because they want to go to a food capital of the world.
We went to a wine dinner last night at Atchafalaya, which was
Atchafalaya is wonderful.
It was absolutely incredible. Chef Chris, he nailed it. And then we went out to this little bar called Pete's. It's like a little private bar in the Irish Channel. And they got a Budge Inn. It was this cool little bar that I'm sure I've been to over the years. Like when I marched in the Irish Channel.
There's a place in the West Bank that I went to one time. They had to buzz me in.
The Wabbit?
The Wabbit's another one. That's a good one.
The Wabbit is good.
The
biggest game of all.
The Wabbit is good. The Wabbit's good.
Yep. The Wabbit.
And this guy's afraid to go to the Irish Channel. He owns a business right there.
Guess who's opening up tomorrow?
Who's opening up?
Tracy's.
Okay.
The original Tracy's used to be on the corner by
Parasols is?
Right, down the street. They had a big powwow between him and the owner of the building. So Jeff is out of there, and he's down the street by me, right by Bulldogs, next to Bulldogs.
Well, my point is there's a lot of good things that's happening in this city. There's a lot of people that just love this city for being who it is because it has a heartbeat. You go to the other places you travel around the country, they don't have a heartbeat.
Nope.
And I think that's why we're so passionate about our sports fan. We're sports-based. And if we could just do things a little bit more professionally, that would change perception that in the whole national narrative is that we don't care about our teams. We talked about this on one of the breaks about Gilbert Arenas talking about the Pelicans could care less about us.
Well, it's funny you say that. I can play it. Look, it's one of the reasons I legit.
I tried to play it. I couldn't get the sound.
I want Chef Scotty to run for mayor. Legit, honestly, dude.
What an idiot.
What?
Gilbert Arenas. Well, it's back to this, Perkins kind of comments before. Now, he's warmed up to us. He was trying to say we were a dark horse team at one point. So
they are completely misinformed.
Listen, relax.
Okay.
Golden State and Lakers about to be in the playoffs. Them other two teams that got no fan base.
Get out of here.
TV, we don't want to see you.
But five games max. Five or six games max.
Ooh.
Lakers.
In the first
Lakers
round?
And go to state.
Out five here.
Five
it don't matter.
That's, say that again.
5 or 6 games max, and then go home.
That's good. That's TV.
And that's it. No.
That's TV.
No, and that,
you'd rather have that than Pelicans?
And listen, we might.
Well, I don't even know. Sacramento and Pelicans, 5 or 6 games. Nobody watching that.
So Zion ain't bringing no Zion not bringing no crowd?
Nah, new Pelicans. Nah.
What a jerk.
There it is. There it is.
You know, these guys are so misinformed. Never even been to this city. Jag off.
Well, I mean, look, that's
not a curse word.
That's the thing. That's the thing of which I think's funny is that people are misinformed. It's malpractice, right? I mean, you don't do your homework and your research. No,
it's like
this fan base has been there for the Pelicans.
4K well, doesn't for watch the games Hornets. And then he spouts out
we just
them.
Want a better product on the court.
How did John get thrown into this?
Because I love him.
Oh, man.
My buddy, man.
But that's why I'm saying that the Saints organization, as for the Pelicans, need to do a better job of some of the decision-making they've had because right now, this city does love their teams. But at some point, they're going to be held accountable if they don't get their act together.
Look at them, look.
And they're definitely at a crossroads
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, some Boudin.
He ate Boudin.
Tell you,
there is hope for him.
I mean, the travesty right now that I'll talk about with the Pelicans is the fact that it's so difficult to watch a Pelicans game.
Well,
that was a very difficult. I mean, they've gotten better with that.
They've gotten better, but that
should not have been where it is right now.
Period. I'm with you, and I think the thing that you just said too can be applied to not only the city but the teams here as well, being done professionally, and understanding that if I had a complaint, and I'm younger than you guys by a little bit. But I think the one thing that has gotten me since I've been around, much less since you guys have been around, is the one thing that New Orleans fights. And I don't know why we fight it so much. It's the, well, we've always done things this way sort of approach. It is a very small town mentality to look at it that way. I've had conversations with several people that have done, you know, talk shows or politicians and things of that nature. And it's been brought to my attention, and, you know, I do like 5 minutes of research or whatever, and you kind of see it, and I kind of remember a little bit of it, too. But Houston, Atlanta, and New Orleans were very similar 20, 25 years ago, 30 years ago.
No.
And you would say New Orleans.
40, 50 years.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I'm older now, but yes. But the oil and gas, right? I mean, New Orleans was known as, all, you know, I would say above those three.
New Orleans totally dropped the ball
when it came to that
too
aspect.
Too many people
of
had their
it.
Hands out, Scott.
Right?
That's why.
Well, that's the thing.
That's the politics
and look,
of Louisiana.
And then you go to the Disney World situation. That's
right.
Another instance of that. Just we have
Disney World was supposed to be in the East.
We have a disease in this area, in this state, where we can't look past tomorrow. And we can't look past immediately. And it's all races, all colors, all RRDs. Because as long as I've been around, the Democratic Party has run the city of New Orleans, the school board, the city council. The sewage and water board yesterday wouldn't even do an interview with TV stations. They're paid by public funds. How are you not point is, that's the problem, to your point. If you get people in here that actually do things professionally and actually do things that they actually can see past tomorrow and stuff like that, the state wouldn't be, because you're right. We do have that uniqueness where it is different, where people do care. And it is just a complete different way of living that I think it really is beneficial, that people do love. I mean, look, when you go to Vegas, I was texting Scott, like, I'm in Vegas. I'm like, dude, food ain't that. I mean, you know, it's like, I just,
Vegas,
it felt different.
Well, what you just said about Atlanta
unless
and about Houston.
Right.
Boy, what you just
but
said
what
about Atlanta and Houston.
Too, like, for,
no,
did,
from an economic standpoint,
that
no,
Olympic
I agree with
thing,
you.
And they put a fiber optic underneath the entire city. They made it
I
grow.
Agree.
And
from an economic standpoint, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. That's they are far superior when it comes 100%. To for that. But as for a fan base for their teams, but that's what makes us so unique. We're in a position right now. We love our teams, right? We identify with our teams. Our teams, we've grown up with them. We are part of our fabric of who we are.
When we went
but
to
you
go
to a game over in Atlanta, they could care less. It's such a transient population.
Right.
Same thing with Houston.
I'm talking about the city.
But
itself.
What I'm saying is we need to capitalize on that. Right. We can capitalize on our fan base who's so passionate. But these same people that are passionate about our pro sports are passionate about our cities. If we'd clean them up a little bit better,
I agree.
They'd get a little bit more professional and run the right way.
I agree.
That whole thing that we're talking about permeate through the entire society.
I got to hit the break here, but it's crazy to me that you talk about whether it's the quarter, you talk about the downtown development area right there, Poydras, right, from Claiborne to the inn by the river. I mean, there's like a 3-mile, 2-mile area. It is obnoxious to me that all the people that work, live there, associate and tourist there, that is not the safest place.
How
in the
world is Canal Street a one-way right now? How do you allow that?
Again, like I said.
I went down to eat, like I said, dinner and all, a one-way. It's ridiculous.
The collapse of the building, they made it one.
Yeah, I
welcome back to Katie. Francesca. Both of those owned by Mr. Chef Scott over here. We're in Lakeview today at Francesca by Deli Pizzeria and Catering. Jeff Box from our sister station KNAE, ESPN Bet. Sir, how are you?
Real good, thank you. And how's it going out there?
What was that, Jeff?
Doing good, thank you very much. What's up with you?
Nothing. Just had trouble hearing you for a sec there. So one of the things, you want to ask Jeff something? Well, hold on. He definitely wants to talk about the game tonight that is going on in Sacramento as kind of a big one when it comes to the Pels. What you got, man?
Well, you know, again, the Pelicans now 47-32, sixth in the West, just a half game in front of Phoenix. Sacramento, 45-34, eighth in the West. Again, the Kings, two games behind the Pelicans, sitting in that eighth spot. Two games remaining on the schedule after this one. Crucial matchup indeed. Keegan Murray, questionable for Sacramento. He's got a calf issue. Brandon Ingram, of course, remains out for the Pels. A couple of notes. Again, the over-under, 216.5, but Sacramento has hit the first half game total under in 13 of the last 15 games. Pelicans actually not favored in this game. Underdog at 1.5. Money line minus 105 for the Pels. 115 minus for Sacramento. A couple of things to think about. Zion Williamson, commanding difference maker lately. Again, the Duke product leads the team in scoring now with nearly 23 points a game, nearly 6 boards a game, 5 assists a game. 57% shooting from the field. Against the Suns, he had 29 points, 10 boards, 7 assists, 5 blocks. C.J. McCollum, again, a smooth bucket getter. McCollum had a sweet jumper from both mid-range and downtown. 32-year-old also is a great facilitator. So, again, averaging nearly 20 points a game, 4.3 rebounds, 4.5 assists. Again, playing some good basketball. Why the Kings might be able to cover guard De'Aaron Fox, an explosive four general, owns a blazing quick first step with the athleticism to soar above the rim, get into passing lanes. Can also space the court, leads the team in scoring 26.5 per game, steals 2 a game, 5.6 assists per game. Against the Celtics a few days ago, he had 40 points, 2 assists made, 7 3.
Hello, Jeff. Looks like we lost Jeff there. All right. Let's go to West Bank Rick. West Bank Rick, thank you for giving us a call. See if we get Jeff back on. How are you, West Bank Rick?
Hey, happy Festivus for the rest of us. I hope y'all can hear me.
Yep.
What's up, Rick? It was nice meeting your mom, man. That was very cool.
Hey, man, let me introduce it in. I was going to bring that in to you, Scotty. My mom wanted to tell you that your food was so good that she had to stop eating halfway so she wouldn't be a glut.
She was sweet, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I'm out here with the festival looking at all the restaurants, locals, mostly locals, to see who else I might be trying, like Scotty and them. But I heard you put on Gilbert Arenas, and he almost sounded like some of these doubters in New Orleans about how Willie Green has been performing as a coach. You know, every year his record has been getting better and better. I'm hoping this year it could be 6 points just like it was, six more games winning like he had last year. So if he adds another 6 to it, I don't know what the naysayers are going to have to say about that. So.
Dude. Well, one of the things I think that, you know, it's just the national media, for whatever reason, has been down on the Pelicans. And some of it had to do with, I think, around the All-Star break when Zion wasn't in full shape. But now that he is, that narrative's changed. And then looking down the stretch and how he's been playing, how much he wants it, this team has an opportunity to do something special, but everything's in front of them. And tonight's going to be a difficult game. I don't know if you just heard that we're not favored in this game. We've won four of the last games that we played, and it's tough to beat a team five times. But I think this is the game that is very crucial. You win this one, it sets up really well for you to get into the playoffs without being in that play-in spot. But I think it's going to be an uphill battle. Tonight, I think you got to look at Trey Murphy to get have a big game. You need points from him.
Yep.
And you need Zion to be Zion. And you need to have more efficiency from your guard play. And that's both with C.J. McCollum and also Herb Jones. Herb Jones has kind of taken a little bit of step back with his three-point shooting. He's kind of came back down to earth. At one point, he was shooting at over a 40% clip. But I do think he impacts the game so much. But the thing that we got to stop is we got to stop the guy that stirs the drink, and that is De'Aaron Fox. Yeah. We stop Fox, yeah, then I think we can slow down this team.
It's going to be tough.
We've been good with Dyson Daniel coming back. At first, I thought he wasn't going to be good enough to get back on the field with his knee, but he looks pretty good. And I'm hoping this will be our first time getting five games in a row, and we can finish out the season. Hey, Gus, thank you for taking my call. Flock up, everybody. I'm going to be listening.
Block up.
Love it. Well, it's been great.
I like his assessment of Dyson, and I think Dyson's another difference maker for us because he's such a big guard that does rebound. He's got to be more aggressive and look to score. He started to shoot that little floater in the last couple of games, and that's been the difference maker for him because there was a game I think he scored 14 points
dropped
at one point.
Floater,
yeah. Yeah, dropped the floater in.
Dropped bare floater.
When he gets into the lane, like to see him finish at the rim with some authority. He just doesn't. We don't have that guy that just says, get out of my way, I'm coming
Zion,
down, other than Zion.
He's always laying it up. He never slams.
Other than Zion.
I think he's been playing.
No, he has been. Zion has been. I'm talking about Dyson. Dyson Daniels.
No doubt. See, we get back. I guess we won't be able to get Jeff Boggs back here as well, but the other game you wanted to talk about was the Rockets and Jazz. Houston, 10.5-point favorites in that one. Also, Warriors and Trailblazers. Look, we want Portland to win this one. Golden State's a better team on the road than they have been at home, which is nuts. 24-16.
It's like the Pelicans.
Away from San Francisco, I know. And, look, I think this comes down to this. Win your game tonight, and you're going to be in a much better spot to at least being in seventh. You obviously want sixth and things of that nature.
I've said it. I think this is a must-win game.
Larry Nance is going to be out, personal reasons, for this game. And then also, Najee Marshall looks like he's been upgraded to a bit. So it looks like he would be somebody that could come back and kind of help out body-wise there as well. Najee is a...
He's an enigma.
He's a roller coaster. He's a roller coaster ride.
He's an enigma.
He's
some
a roller coaster
games,
ride. He's the guy like that, or you're not.
Some games, he's the guy that actually makes a difference. Some games, it's like Najee's open. Najee's open. Like, he's always open because they're letting him be open. Yeah. So when he steps up, and it's going to be tough for him coming back, coming off the injury, but, he is another guy you can throw out there.
I have one of those uneasy, queasy feelings as well, too, that I want to take care of that one. Look, go 2-1. Love to go 3-0. Go 2-1. By the way, the Pelicans just posted Sunday's game against the Lakers just got moved to ESPN and Bally's. So now it's a nationally televised game, which tells you all you need to know. Some way, somehow,
it's going to
matter.
LeBron just got fouled.
Did they just get fouled?
The Lakers will win.
I'm just telling you, one of
the greatest
team ever. Keep in mind, the Lakers are off today. They were off yesterday. The NBA gave them two whole days before they went on their massive long travel and take on Memphis and that long 45-minute flight from Memphis to New Orleans on Saturday while the Pelicans have to fly all Saturday. They're leaving Saturday because they play Golden State tomorrow.
And they'll probably
tomorrow
make
night.
Sure the flight's delayed.
Oh, I'm sure.
So that they can't take
something
off until 4 o'clock in the morning.
There's some problem with our landing gear.
Sorry there, birds, but the bathroom is not working. And,
it don't matter, guys, because the Lakers can't jump the Pelicans.
For some reason,
but
potty
we may,
is out.
Get a
Zion
two,
went
poo poo
in the potty.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, no.
I mean, if you win the next two,
Somehow. But they're in a Lakers going to be resting their players.
I'm hoping so.
John, not if you can get in six.
The Lakers
will
rest their players. The Pelicans will take care of business because the Lakers are going to rest up because they got to play the Warriors for that play-in game.
No, he's saying if they win out and we lose – then they could actually move up to the playoff spot.
The Lakers, I think, are three games out. They only got two left.
I think they are two games out, right? You said two games out?
I'm going to pull it up right this minute. Y'all keep talking.
Well, all I know is that you need to control your destiny. And tonight's, I think, a must-win game for the Pelicans. Today's the game you've got to get.
All right. The Lakers are 2.5 games out, so don't matter. The Lakers can win both of them. They can't jump the Pels. The Pels have a game up on them. They got three left, and they got two left.
The team that you're worried about is the Suns, but to put them in the play-in is really where you're worried about. If we can get to six, I think then this season becomes, for me, it becomes a success. You're in a full playoff series. You can get your guys back with some rest.
Yeah.
Get them kind of on the same page. Now this team could actually be dangerous.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, hour two is in the books, brought to you by Chris's Paving. ChrisPaving.com is the way to go. Check them out. Driveway, parking lots, overlays, locally owned and operated. Well, check them out online, ChrisPaving.com. Hour three next on ESPN New Orleans.
Are you over 30 and putting off life insurance? It's time to get a quick quote from Ethos. A better, easier way to get term life insurance. All online with no medical exam. Answer a few health questions and you could be approved for up to $2 million. Isn't it worth 10 minutes to help protect your family's financial security? Ethos. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
Hey, are you having a hard time dealing with high-interest credit card debt? It's normal, and a SoFi personal loan could help you save thousands by consolidating your DEVT to one low fixed monthly payment. You could get $5,000 to $100,000 as soon as the same day you sign, with no fees required. It only takes 60 seconds to view your rate, and it won't affect your credit score. View your rate at SoFi.com/paid off. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions at SoFi.com/paid off. NMLS 696891.
Bobby, what time is it?
It's time to pay other people's taxes.
Again?
It's Lanyap, little brother, because we love the people.
We're still paying the taxes on every item up to $4,000?
Yes.
And if they maximize their savings on two different items, it's more than enough to pay for a crawfish boil plus four tickets?
Wesley, you remember correctly.
And the prices are excellent.
Prices are always excellent at Ramsey's.
But right now, they're extra excellent.
Because we're the largest diamond store in Louisiana. Ramsey's has diamond jewelry that no one else can show you.
Options, options, options.
Choices, choices, choices.
Spectacular diamond jewelry that is easily within your budget.
Especially if you let us finance it for you.
0% financing for 12 months.
Or 36 months at 9.99%.
With approved credit.
Ramsey's tax-free event is continuing now through Monday, April 15th.
Crawfish boil and tickets.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.